On this edition of the Jefferson Exchange right now, it would be the definition of a mismatch for a sailboat to confront a Navy ship armed with nuclear-powered weapons, but such a situation does take place, and the sailboat sails on. It's not trying to engage in battle, but to convince people to stop making nuclear weapons for possible battles in the future. The Golden Rule is the sailboat, and ambassador for the group Veterans for Peace, which, as the name implies, is for peace and against war and nuclear weapons. A film about the sinking of the Golden Rule and its rebirth on California's North Coast is called Making Waves, Rebirth of the Golden Rule. It will screen tonight, tomorrow, and Wednesday in Ashland, Grants Pass, and Medford in that order. We'll get some specifics right now and learn more about the whole project from Zoe Bird, who is the Veterans for Peace Golden Rule Project Ambassador. Joins me in the studio. Zoe, good to have you here.
Thank you for having us.
We also have with us Dan Davis, who's with the Veterans for Peace Rogue Valley Chapter 156. Dan, welcome to you.
Hi. Thank you.
And Michael Neiman's back with us once again, representing Peace House in Ashland. Michael, good to see you.
Glad to be here.
So, Zoe, tell us about the genesis of the project. This is really two life stories for the Golden Rule, isn't it?
Yes, it is indeed. In 1958, this small 35-foot sailboat sailed to the Marshall Islands in an attempt to end nuclear weapons testing at that time, which was affecting, of course, the Marshallese people and devastating their lives, but also the fallout was going all around the world. And there was news of this. In fact, mothers were testing the milk before they would give it to their babies. So, you know, it was definitely affecting the whole world. And so a group of four Quakers got on the boat and decided to sail to the Marshall Islands to raise awareness. And it worked. Took years, of course, years of work by a lot of different groups. But in 1963, then the Limited Test Ban Treaty was passed. And so the above-ground testing ended at that time. And then the boat kind of we've lost track of it over the years. And in 2010, it was a derelict, didn't have a mast or anything. It was just a derelict shell of a boat in the Humboldt Bay. And in a gale, it sank and was retrieved, and so it had a watery grave and then almost a fiery grave because it was just really worthless at the time, according to the people who found it, and they were just going to burn it on the beach until someone recognized it and said, I think that's the Golden Rule, the historical Golden Rule peace boat. And they looked into it further, and then Veterans for Peace got on board and decided to resurrect her. And it took 5 years to rebuild her. And in 2015, then, she was ready to sail again, and she's been sailing ever since. She's been sailing for 3 years up and down the coast, raising public awareness, stopping in ports of call every day to do, and where the ambassadors will do presentations. And so now she's going to embark on a much bigger adventure. This spring, she'll be going to Hawaii and then on to the Marshall Islands, Guam, Okinawa, South Korea, and then Japan. We're wanting to get to Japan by 2020 for the 75th anniversary of the Hiroshima and Nagasaki bombings.
So how did somebody recognize the Golden Rule just before it met the torch?
I think it was someone from the Humboldt Veterans for Peace who also knew the people who were who rescued it. Well, actually, they were just trying to get out of the way because it was in the bay. And so they did some research and found out, because it really was not recognizable at all, and there was no name on the boat anymore. Mm-hmm. And so luckily, before she was burned, they did recognize her and decide to do the work, you know, to bring her back, which was considerable. It would be much easier to build a new boat.
Probably, yeah, I can imagine with the bones of what was left of the old one. But here we are again with the Golden Rule. Not a recreation, as I've talked about a couple times, but actually a rebirth of the existing boat.
That's right.
Although this is kind of like the old joke about George Washington's axe with seven new handles and five new heads. Dan Davis, talk about the Veterans for Peace effort more broadly and what it's all about.
Well, first of all, I want to say that Veterans for Peace is really proud to have participated in and spearheaded the rebirth of the Golden Rule. It has a glorious history and has done so much for the world by helping to institute stopping of nuclear testing, which was spreading strontium-90 all around the world into everybody's bones. So it has been a major factor in that. So Veterans for Peace really likes to try to bring awareness to the cost of war. And, you know, the Strontium 90 was part of that. But there's so many costs of war that a lot of people don't even think about. And that includes not just the soldiers, the American soldiers killed, which we so often think about, and the trillions of dollars that we basically throw away in foreign countries trying to dominate and direct what they do politically. So there's so many effects on enemy soldiers, of course, not just killed but wounded and maimed for life and scarred psychologically, but also all the civilians in the countries that we are participating in wars in. Not only those people being killed and wounded, but also refugees created. I think there's upwards of 1 million refugees created from the Iraq War that we recently participated in, or actually started and promoted.
So is your aim wars involving the United States or war generally? What's the opposition?
Well, we'd like to talk about war generally, but the United States seems to be the primary progenitor of the wars that we're participating in.
Dan Davis, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, is with Veterans for Peace, Rogue Valley Chapter 156. We're talking about the Golden Rule sailboat mission, which is going to be shown at a couple of venues in the region. We'll talk about exactly where in just a moment. Zoe Bird is the Veterans for Peace Golden Rule Project Ambassador. Michael Nieman is hosting this through Peace House in Ashland. You can join the conversation on the exchange as we talk about nuclear weapons and war and what the place of these things is in the world today. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. And Zoe, we did mention it's Ashland tonight, Tuesday in Grants Pass and Wednesday in Medford?
Yes, that's correct. Tonight is at the Ashland Peace House at 7:30 p.m. in Ashland, of course. Grants Pass tomorrow night, Tuesday, at 6:30 p.m. at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Grants Pass. And then on Wednesday, it'll be in Medford at 6:30 p.m. at the Medford Public Library in the Adams Room.
Okay, so that gives us the whole list. We'll get it again before the end of the program. Michael Nieman, I want to turn to you because we've talked several times about war and nuclear weapons. Here we are in 2019 now talking about continuing a mission that began in 1958 to stop the testing of nuclear weapons. There have been some changes. There have been some reductions. But at some point in your life, did you think we would not be talking about nuclear weapons anymore by this year?
I was hoping that, but I was not naive enough to believe it would actually happen. So, unfortunately, people have stopped thinking about nuclear weapons since the end of the Cold War, and it's not really on the radar screen anymore. But it should be, because the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists put the doomsday clock back to 2 minutes before midnight that was last at that stage in 1953. So we are in a very, very perilous time when it comes to nuclear weapons. Just this morning, I read in the news that the first low-yield nuclear weapons produced in the United States are rolling off the assembly line and will be deployed by September. And so we are seeing a new nuclear arms race. We're seeing the nuclear powers spending trillions of dollars over the next 2-3 decades to modernize their arsenals. So the exact opposite of what I had hoped would happen is actually happening. And so we have to be really paying attention to what's going on.
Are the low-yield nuclear weapons what we used to call tactical nuclear weapons?
No, they are Trident missiles, but their explosive power has been reduced from 100 kilotons to something in the vicinity of the Hiroshima bomb, which makes them more usable in the eyes of the nuclear planners.
So from what you were saying a second ago, that you believe the world has sort of lost focus. Once the Cold War was over, mm-hmm. we decided nuclear weapons weren't as – I mean, we did have reductions in nuclear
yes.
weapons.
Is, oh,
that,
yes.
is that part of what led to some of the –
That's part of it. There were the START treaties, and so now the nuclear weapons are down to about 15,000 warheads around the world, down from, you know, well over in the 40s, 50s. So the numbers are down. But that does not reduce the risk. It does not reduce the possibility that they be used either accidentally or actually with these new kind of nuclear weapons as a new bully tactic.
So then what is the effort involving with the Golden Rule? What does the Golden Rule do in the way of confronting nuclear weapons or publicizing that there are nuclear weapons and campaigning for their removal or destruction?
Well, education is a big part of that, and so we educate in every town we go to and further through radio like this show. Thank you very much. We're also in support of the UN Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons, which was adopted by the UN in September of 2017, so a year and a half ago. And now we have 70 countries have signed on to that, and 20 of those 70 have ratified it within their countries. And once it reaches 50 countries ratified, it will enter into legal force for those countries that have signed, of course. But that will step it up another level to where countries all over the world and all the citizens within the countries, the nuclear countries, will be putting a lot of pressure on those governments to prohibit nuclear weapons and to work towards a nuclear-free world where hopefully we're all headed.
How much danger do the folks on the Golden Rule take on? I mean, is this akin to the old Rainbow Warrior ship of Greenpeace that ended up getting sunk by the French Navy?
And actually, Greenpeace was started after the Golden Rule. The Golden Rule was kind of the first peace boat ever that inspired the other ones that followed. Currently, we're not the trips that we're taking right now are not illegal in any way. Even when we go to the Marshall Islands this time, it's not illegal to travel there. So we don't expect to have any arrests or anything. It is very safe to crew on the boat now. And we also accept crew. The crew changes all the time. So if you want to crew for a day or a week or a month, if you're experienced and want to crew on one of the ocean crossings that we're coming up with in the next 3 years, we encourage experienced travelers for the ocean crossings.
Dan Davis, is there anything that motivates you in there, or are you more than happy to stay on land and make the case here?
Both. Uh-huh. I am a sailor, and I love sailing, and I love what the Golden Rule is doing and represents.
Did you serve in the Navy yourself?
No, I was in the Army in Vietnam, but I do love sailing. I would like to participate.
Did your own feelings about war and your joining up with Veterans for Peace, and I don't know if you had anything to do with the formation of the chapter too, did that come directly from your own war experience in Vietnam?
Absolutely. Brought home very strongly what the costs of war are, and not only to myself and my fellow soldiers, but also to the families that were left behind and had to suffer with the result, not only not having their loved ones with them for that period of time, but also with the aftermath of PTSD and some of the problems that's brought to veterans and their families.
Does it surprise you now that we're talking, well, it's been close to 50 years anyway, well, 50 years plus actually for some people who served in Vietnam, that we're still talking about war in a lot of the same terms?
Not at all. I think, it surprises me that we're still even discussing nuclear war or even all of the wars that we're involved in around the world. And believe me, every veteran for peace is a very patriotic individual, and we love our country. So we're not trying to damage the country in any way. We're trying to hopefully make it better and more peaceful and less damaging to so many people.
Is that disclaimer often necessary, though, to explain to people that you do still love the country, even though you're not against war, you're not for war?
Well, I think some people look down on the idea of veterans not being in favor of war. I think if you really talk to any veterans, especially war veterans, you'll find the same sentiments, whether they express them in that way or not.
We're talking about Veterans for Peace. Dan Davis is with the Rogue Valley Chapter number 156. Zoe Bird is the Veterans for Peace Golden Rule Project Ambassador. Golden Rule Project, the 33-foot sailboat that is sailing to publicize the case against nuclear weapons. There'll be a film shown on that in Ashland tonight, Grants Pass Tuesday night, Medford Wednesday night, and Michael Neiman from Peace House in Ashland, helping host it in Ashland, is here with us as well. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Always a lot to talk about when we get into the topic of war and nuclear weapons. And you're welcome to join the conversation at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. A little further insight into the state of the world today. Michael Neiman, as we look at populism and nationalism and its growth in so many countries, ours included. I mean, do you have greater concerns now than you did for war generally a year or three ago?
Indeed, I do, because the tone of the debate has changed significantly in the last several years. And because of that tone, especially if we look at some of the European countries, Poland, for example, is demanding that nuclear weapons be stationed on its territory. That kind of language is what helps makes a confrontation more likely to happen. And that worries me a lot.
Well, and that is there's also the talk of other countries that would that would get nuclear weapons on their own. Of course, there was an agreement with Iran that they wouldn't have nuclear weapons for 10 years. The United States pulled out of that. Mm-hmm. Iran, for the moment, may be holding up to that, but there's always the chance that Iran will go for a nuclear weapon. There's evidence, perhaps, that Saudi Arabia is developing some sort of capabilities like that. So this does not seem to be a time in history when nuclear weapons are reducing anymore.
Well, the trouble is, of course, is that the false assumption by those countries is that nuclear weapons will protect them.
Mm-hmm. And we won't get attacked if we have a nuclear weapon.
Yeah, right. So it is really the nuclear powers that have to take the lead on this. So if the countries that today have nuclear weapons are concerned about proliferation, the best way to address that question is to start reducing their own stockpile of nuclear weapons. Unfortunately, that's not happening. So we end up, the countries that own nuclear weapons perpetuate that spiral that encourages non-nuclear weapon countries to want them and to acquire them. And I think that's the false logic that we have to battle against.
How do you battle against it then? If everybody's convinced that they're safer with a nuclear weapon.
And to show that, in effect, those nuclear weapons do not increase safety. I think that's the key thing that we have to document, and that nuclear weapons do not protect the people once things. The reason why we have this treaty to prohibit nuclear weapons is because the non-nuclear weapon countries in the world have recognized that any nuclear exchange is a global catastrophe. These global catastrophes, no country is capable of dealing with the aftermath of a nuclear war. The humanitarian consequences are just so staggering that it would tax not just any country, but the world to come to grips with the aftermath. And I think that's what needs to be shown, that a nuclear war is not survivable by the world. And unfortunately, that conversation is not being had.
Zoe Bird, that is part of the mission of the Golden Rule sailboat. So then how do you pinpoint the mission about where to go and what to say and who do you say it to?
Well, we want to go as far and broad as we can. And that's one reason why we spent the last 3 years kind of initiating this whole project again, reinitiating it up and down the West Coast. We were going to head to the Gulf Coast and the East Coast when we decided that it was more important to head to the Pacific and back to the Marshall Islands and to Japan and raise more awareness that way more broadly. But we really want to talk to the people, the citizens of the United States especially. For instance, in California, in August of 2018, last summer, the California Senate approved a resolution to support the UN treaty for the prohibition of nuclear weapons. And the Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility is spearheading a project right now with a lot of other groups, in partnership with them. They're starting a petition right now that will be I'll be circulating on my tour and beyond. And that's to get the Oregon legislature to make the same resolution that California has. There's also a I Can Cities appeal is trying to get cities to get on this on board too. And the more people in the whole country that we get on board with this will really help to put a lot of pressure on the government.
Had you heard much of the Golden Rule, Dan Davis, before it was offered up as to come through the region with the film?
Yes, I had, and I was actually trying to crew when it was cruising around Oregon and Washington. However, I had a medical issue that that held me back from doing that. But I would have loved to do that.
So if people do want to help out in some way, I mean, other than attending these sessions, we'll get to those again in just a moment. What kinds of things can they do, Zoe?
Well, for the Golden Rule Project specifically, you can crew, of course. Even inexperienced people can crew as long as it's not an ocean crossing. I've crewed last year, and I plan to crew again in the future. It's a very amazing, wonderful experience. She's a beautiful boat and full of spirit. you can also become a speaker. You can help with other organizational outreach in towns to get the screening of the new film, Making Waves, Rebirth of the Golden Rule. There's tabling.
Let me tell people that again, that'll be screening tonight in Ashland at 7:30 at Peace House, is that right?
Yes.
And then on Tuesday at 6:30 at the Unitarian Universalist Center in Grants Pass. And then on Wednesday, also at 6:30 at the library in Medford?
Yes.
Okay. So that's a chance to see this film that is well, I've got a quick moment from for Dan Davis.
Yeah, I'd like to add if people want to get involved, they can contact the local chapter of Veterans for Peace and get involved in that way and help us bring awareness. And we do have a Facebook page, Peace Veterans.
Okay, we'll link to that at our website at jeffexchange.org. Dan Davis with the Veterans for Peace Rogue Valley Chapter 156. Zoe Bird with Veterans for Peace as the Golden Rule Project Ambassador. And Michael Nieman from Peace House in Ashland hosting tonight's presentation. Thank you all for joining us today.
Thanks
on the Jefferson Exchange.
Us, yeah.